You can come anytime to camp, and it's a blessing. It really doesn't matter if it's Brother Phil with the deep booming voice, or Brother Keith who doesn't sing much, or Brother Kenny who plays the guitar while he sings. You might enjoy that second period. Those are secondary, tertiary matters. Jesus is here the first period and the second period. And he stays once in a while for third, and he always comes back for fourth. And we're really glad for that. We're really glad that Jesus is here, and his presence is here. And I know that some of you over here and over there and some of the office personnel, you're here all the time. You have to stay here. And, of course, Brother Tom lives here, and there might be a variety and a difference, but it's all good. Because the Lord Jesus Christ manifests himself, and it's always his word. And we thank God that we have that opportunity to come together. And this is the last meeting that we'll have. And I would just like to read something to you from, we have a choice of Gospels, but let's read it from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, a familiar story that Jesus tells. And it's concerning Jesus and his disciples and then others. And it's kind of like my story and yours too. Jesus and you are his disciples, but there are others. Others that don't know Jesus yet. You do. You're following him. And these disciples were his disciples because he called them from different walks of life, from different places. And he said, follow me. And then he saw another guy sitting under a tree, and he said, okay, you follow me. Matthew collecting taxes, and he said, Matthew, you follow me. And he had different people from all walks of life, tax collectors, economists. He had some fishermen. I don't know what Nathaniel did. Maybe he was unemployed because he was just sitting under a tree. I don't know what they were all doing with themselves, but we're all from different walks of life also, and some are in the medical profession, and some are in finance, and some are in teaching, and all different walks of life. But he's called you. He's called you to be a disciple. And with the call to be a disciple comes the call to be holy, comes the call to be all that he wants to make you. But there's also an end game in that we didn't talk about yet. But he wants me to be like himself, and he wants to change me, and he wants to work in me, not because he wants me to feel better about myself. Yes, he wants to see the travail of his soul, and he wants to be glorified, but he wants to save us and change us, and then he wants to use us. There are others. Jesus, his disciples, and in the story, we're going to read about others. Let me read it to you. And again, when I start reading it, you'll know it, I'm sure. From the 30th verse of Mark chapter 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and all that they had taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. Sounds like those that work in the kitchen. So many people coming and going, and we've got to prepare for the next meal, and we've got to finish up with this meal. We don't even have time to eat. Has that ever happened? Maybe some, yes. Brother Rich is saying yes. I cook it all, but I never get a taste of it because, well, yeah, these disciples were like that. Now, you can read, if you put all the Gospels together and you get the full account, you really do find out what Jesus and the disciples had been doing that day, and they had been busy all day. They had been working all day, and they didn't even have time to stop to eat. Jesus, he knew what it was to work. He knew what it was to minister to others' needs, and he had done that this day in a variety of ways. And so no time to eat, and it's getting a little bit later now. And so Jesus said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to Pilgrim Camp and get some rest. Oh, Message Bible. Come with me to a quiet place. Well, with all these kids around here this week, Pilgrim Camp has been anything but a quiet place. But it's been great, as has been said. It's been wonderful to have the children with us. Maybe we should ditch that end and just open it up to families every... No, I'm only kidding. But it's been a wonderful experience. But here, these disciples, that sounded good. I mean, when it was time to go to camp this year, there's a family that's even here. And I said, if you want to stay here, that's okay. And there's this and that and the other. And they said, no, we want to have a vacation. We want to have a vacation at camp. And others had an opportunity to work at camp. And we're actually going to be on the staff working. And then all of a sudden, I got a text message. You think it's possible for me not to be a worker? And I just want to... I want a quiet place. Has it been noisy out there on Watch Rock? No, it's been a little quiet. It's a little quiet place. Not much in block parties going out on Watch Rock. You're the only guy out there. A nice quiet place. Sounds good. Sounds good to get away from the hum and the din and the noise and the strife and the riots and everything else that, depending on where you live, you've been going through. And to come up to Pilgrim Camp like an oasis. You've been busy, you've been working, people all around you. Maybe you haven't had time much to eat this year, or to sleep this year, or to get a lot of, it's been busy. But now, I got time to go to a quiet place to rest. And the disciples appreciated that. I think they also thought about food. We'll get to eat, we'll get some downtime. We'll get to take a nap. Anybody take a nap this afternoon? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, okay, everybody raise their hand. Yeah, everybody took a nap this afternoon. Yeah, nice, quiet place, rest, nap. That was all running through the minds of these disciples. They were looking forward to it. This is going to be great. Just us now. We got rid of all those fourth period people, and it's just us. And we're able now to really enjoy ourselves because we know each other. We didn't know any of them, and we didn't care to get to know them, and their faces were wrong, and their voices were squeaky and high. And now we've just got what we want now, just us. And now we're going to, okay, here we go. So, I mean, I'm reading it. That's what it says, right? Or something like that. Let's go to a solitary or quiet place to rest. So they went by away by themselves in a boat. Oh, yeah. Well, I did that too. Some of you, Pilgrim Camp was too noisy and not quiet enough. So how many of you got in a boat and went back into the swamp? Some of you did. Yeah, I know who you were. You went back in the swamp. Is it quiet back there? No kids. You don't have to deal with anybody. The third period, second period, first period, you got to deal with nothing unless you fall in and you deal with leeches. But as long as you're in the boat, you might occasional beaver or two. No, you don't usually see them except the dams. And that's why you go back there in the swamp. Quiet, quiet. So they got into a boat. And they were heading to, it says in the NIV, they went to a solitary place. Okay, we know what that is. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Oy, yay, yay. So here comes this boat, just a nice, solitary, quiet, maybe a sailboat, Brother Tom. Oh, across the lake and whatever. And all these people, I know exactly where these guys are going, and we're going to go there too. And so they ran around and they got to this place. And here comes the boat to a solitary, quiet place. And there are all the third period people. And the disciples, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, what would you have thought? If here you are looking forward to a vacation, looking forward to a day off, looking forward to an afternoon off, and now you get to where you're going, this nice, quiet, restful, relaxing place. Oh, no. Look, how did they get here? Who brought them? Well, this is what it says in the Bible. They got those people, got there ahead of them, and when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things, just what the disciples were hoping for. Here we go again. just what we've been doing all day, and we haven't had anything to eat, and we haven't had any rest. And Jesus just doesn't seem to get it. He just doesn't seem to ever want to stop. And here these people are, and Jesus is moved with compassion. And I think the disciples are seeing these people and thinking, they're about as wanted as our church picnic wants flies or bees. We're not interested in these people. Shoo them out of here. Get them out of here. What is that fourth period person doing here, third period? We don't want them to be anywhere near. Get out of here. I don't know you. These disciples, I don't know what they said. It doesn't say that in the Bible. But I don't think they had the same thought that Jesus had. Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them. Well, the story goes on and says, by this time it was late in the day. The disciples came to him and they said, this is a remote place. And it's already getting late. These disciples were pretty smart. They knew what to say. Jesus, you know, according to my sundial, it's getting late. And these guys, you know, this is a remote place. There's no place to leave the light on for you. There's no Marriott anywhere near here. There's not even a little shack somewhere they can stay. Wouldn't it be a good idea just to send them all back where they come from? We don't want these people here. Send them home. Well, it's already very late, and the people, send the people away so they can go from the countryside into the villages. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus said, go to the countryside and the villages and buy them something to eat. This is going from bad to worse. This is like they're ruining my vacation, they're ruining my day off, they're ruining my meal, they're ruining my quiet time. And now Jesus is starting to teach them, and we're trying to get rid of them. And Jesus is having none of this get rid of them. Jesus' understanding about it is, why don't you guys go to town and buy them something to eat? Go to the surrounding villages. In other words, no, don't get in your Porsche and drive there. I mean, get your 2 feet going and start hiking some more. I don't want to do that. I've been working all day. I'm tired. I've had enough of this. Stop it already. No, you go get them something to eat. Find whatever you can find. And so they didn't have very much success, but they answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. I mean, they want us to pay for this too. We have to fit the bill. I don't know if I want to do all this. And are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? And you know the story from the other gospel, how Jesus sent them to, well, find out what you can get. There were a lot of people there. Thousands of people had come across. And Jesus said, well, what do we have? What do we have here to give? Or what do you have to give me? And one guy, Andrew, the disciple Andrew, he said, well, I got this guy's lunch. His mother, you know, prepared it for him, or they got it from the kitchen before he left the camp, and he brought it with him. The only smart guy in the bunch. He brought his lunch with him. Everybody else came empty-handed, empty everything. And here they are. They're getting hungry. Yeah, they're getting hungry too. What do we get? Well, we got 5 loaves of bread, and we've got 2 small fish. Doesn't say that, and I don't think it says it in Mark's gospel, but it says in the others. And so, 5 and 2 fish. So Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in the groups of green on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave it to the disciples, set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish and among them all. And they all ate, and they were all satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls. How many disciples were there? 12 disciples. They got 12 baskets left over and of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was about 5,000. Now, I would just like to take a few minutes on 4 different pictures that we have here in this story. Number 1, sheep without a shepherd. Number 2, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Number 3, in the master's hands being broken. And number 4, distribute it to everybody who's gathered. And this is where we get Jesus, the disciples, and others. Well, it starts with the multitudes that had come out. The 5,000 men plus women and children. 10,000 people. That, when it says a large crowd came around the other side of the lake, that was a large crowd. It wasn't just 150 or two. That was thousands of people that came out. And when Jesus saw them, Jesus, it says, was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, that picture wasn't in the minds of the disciples, but maybe it should have been. And maybe that picture has never entered into your mind, but maybe it should. When we go out into the highways and into the byways of life, when we go to school or jobs or communities and neighborhoods, we interact with plenty of people, and they are, as Jesus said, they are like sheep having no shepherd. Now, that is a very pathetic thing. I don't know sheep except the ones in zoos. I was in Romania once. I went over to Romania with another evangelist guy, and he was taking me around in Romania, and we came across a shepherd who was leading his flock of sheep. I was amazed because I had never seen this. I saw one guy, one shepherd, and he was walking ahead of, and he was kind of surrounded by others also, or the sheep. But behind him was a trail of sheep. I have no idea. Was it 1,000 or two? It was a huge, huge flock of sheep. And we had to stop the car because they were coming across the road, and we had to wait 10 minutes while the shepherd was leading his flock across that road. I had read Philip Keller's book. If you haven't read it, it might be in the downstairs, down the hill in the boathouse. And there, if there's a copy or two there, you might want to pick it up tomorrow morning right after breakfast when the boathouse will be open for a few minutes. But Philip Keller writes from a shepherd's perspective, because he was a shepherd. And so he tells us what it all means. A sheep that doesn't have a shepherd is as good as dead. Now, most animals can kind of fend for themselves. They do okay. Sheep don't. Sheep left to their own devices and all by themselves without human intervention, without the intervention of a shepherd, or forget about it. Sheep will eat themselves to death. Well, I know some people might do that too, but sheep do that, really. They eat themselves, they keep eating. If they go to a pasture that's green grass, they'll just eat and eat, and they'll never stop, and they'll just keep on going. The shepherd has to lead them from there to the quiet waters or to some other place, because they just won't go. And if they happen to eat it down to where there's nothing left, they're not so smart. They don't go on and move that by themselves to another pasture. It might be 100 yards away. They don't go. They don't go scout out the land like the spies did. They just sit there, and it's terrible what will happen to them. Well, if they eat too much, they then get tired, they lay down. And when they lay down, just like people, when they lay down and they're too tired, they flop over on their back. And when they flop over on their back, depending on how soon or how recent it's been that they've been shorn, they get into what is called a cast position. They get over on their backs, and their four little legs are sticking up in the air, and they can't get right side up again. You ever have that happen to you? S'mores. Anybody remember? Too many. Cast position. And they can't get up. Now, what do sheep do if a predator comes? They never do anything because they can't. They don't run very well. They don't stink like a skunk. They don't have quills like a porcupine. They don't have paws like a bear. They don't have teeth like a lion. What do? They sit there like this and they say, okay, that's it. Lord, prepare to meet me. And here we come, lamb chops. They're just goners. That's what these sheep are. So what does a shepherd need to do? What a shepherd needs to do, if he doesn't stop them from eating themselves to that point, the shepherd comes around with that, they call it a crook. That's not, if you're from New York City, you got a whole different picture of what I'm talking about. But a crook is that staff with that thing on the end, and they flip them over. Now, a shepherd needs to do all that, because sheep get themselves into all kinds of trouble. And I could go on and on for a long time about what Philip Keller writes happened to sheep. They have been known to follow the leader, There's really no leader. But if one will walk off a cliff, another will follow him. They don't have the sense to say, hey, where did Larry go? We don't see him anymore. Oh, he must be down there. Well, let's join him. And they don't know. They're not smart. You know, there's a good reason why Jesus calls us sheep. It's a really good reason why he calls people sheep. But here he calls people sheep with no shepherd. See, I'm a sheep, but I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me. I'm too stupid. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. But he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. And then my cup runs over. See, that's the good shepherd that I have. But when Jesus saw these people that were coming out by the droves, he was moved with compassion. His heart ached within him. He pled with them, oh, please let me be your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So Jesus, when he saw them, he was thinking compassion. Sheep without a shepherd. The disciples, they were thinking of, these guys are just pests. I don't really care whatever happens to them. He's my shepherd. It doesn't really matter about them. I'm looking for quiet pastures in a quiet place, and I'm looking for paradise. And I'm so thankful that me and he, we're good. But he, disciples, others. And you noticed what Jesus said. Do we have any food here to feed them with? Go get some food. Let's see what we can gather and glean. Disciples, he said to the disciples, you guys feed them. Now, I think he said that to them to make them to see how inept they were. How am I supposed to feed them? I don't have anything myself. I don't have any money to buy food. It was 8 months of a wage for a guy. And there's no place to even buy the food. If I could find a place to buy the food. I mean, what are we talking about here? But Jesus brought them face to face with their inability. Give them something to eat. James, Peter, Ernie, Frank, Deshaun, Chun Lei, feed these sheep with no shepherd. Have compassion on them. They need something to eat. They're going to faint if they try to go any longer. Feed them. But we don't have anything. And I love it when Jesus says, well, what do you have? What do you have? I don't have the wherewithal to feed anybody, and I certainly don't have the wherewithal to feed 10,000. But what do you have? And Jesus never, God never in the Bible asks any of his servants, any of his vessels, sanctified meat for his use. He never asks one of them to give more than what they have. You understand that? He doesn't say to the disciples, you only got 5 loaves, 2 fish, and it's not enough to feed 10,000. If we had 10 loaves and 4 fish, we could do something here. You couldn't do it with 10 loaves and 4 fish either. If they said we have a piece of bubble gum, and that's all we have is one piece of bubble gum, Jesus would have said, give it to me, it's okay, that's enough. But what Jesus was driving at was, whatever it is that you have, and all of what you have, give it to me. I wonder if there was a disciple that said, well, we got 5 loaves, 2 fish, but why don't we keep 2 loaves and 1 fish for ourselves because we haven't eaten all day. And what do you want me to tell you? I can find it from the Bible. The workman is worthy of his hire, and so it's only right that we first get the portions of the fruit. And you can construe anything you want to, but that's not what Jesus was interested in. Jesus wanted them to give everything that they had. Forget about yourself. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Give out as was given to you when you were in your need. And so they bring this food, 5 loaves, 2 fish. I love what Jesus said. You know, we got to get across the Red Sea. So what do you need? You need a few boats. You need some big wings that you could flap. You need an airliner to take you across. Jesus says, Moses, or God says, Moses, what's in your hand? Oh, that's a stick. Okay, let's use your stick. That's all you got? We'll use your stick. He used that stick quite a bit. Stick did him really good. He didn't have much else. Jesus requires of you and of me what we have. Now, I don't have much, do you? What am I going to offer him? I don't have a whole lot of ability. I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of gifts. I don't have a lot of whatever it might take to feed the crowd and to meet the needs of others. I don't have anything. But Jesus doesn't say, hey, Ernie, you know, give me what you don't have, because I can't. I don't have it. But Jesus says, why don't you just give me what you have? The little that you have, and that's the second picture. The sheep with no shepherd are all around us. And then he requires of us the little that we have. We sing in a song, our talents may be few. These may be small, but unto him is due our best and our all. So if you have a loaf or two, give it to Jesus. If you have a talent or two, an ability, a gift, give it to Jesus. Let him have his way with you, in you, through you. So they gave it to Jesus, and it says that Jesus took it in his hands. Is that where I am? Is that where we all are tonight? Just to be clay in the potter's hands? Is that where you find yourself? Are you in his hands, or are you in good hands with Allstate? Or are you in good hands because you go to a fellowship church? Or are you in good hands because you've come to camp this year? He wants to take the clay and he wants it to be in his hands. Because if the church is shaping you, and if society is molding you, you're going to come out wrong. But if you get into the hands of the craftsman, the master, if you put the little that you are and that you have into his hands, and maybe the first thing that he'll do is what he did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Do you know what he did? He gave thanks, and then he broke it. Jesus goes around and breaks everything that he touches. Kind of like your kids. I mean, don't go near that. Don't touch that china. That china is the real stuff. Nobody touches the china. It just stays there in the closet. And we don't ever go near it. Maybe you're kind of like that. You know, everything that you touch breaks. Well, I can go on, and I'm not going to a long time. But you could go through the Bible in a lot of places. You know, that vessel that Gideon had back there when he was to win the great victory that God had intended for him to win, with the 300 men we talked about the other day and a few nights ago. Gideon, I believe, is representing, to me at least, that empty vessel that had a light inside. And what the Lord said for the victory to be won is, I want you to break that vessel. I mean, it took so long to make it. Now you're breaking it. Because it's broken vessels. It's broken vessels that God can use. You say, I don't understand that. That doesn't really make sense. No, it makes a lot of sense. You remember the lady who Jesus said, wherever this gospel's preached, everybody's going to talk about her. Because she did a wonderful, beautiful thing. She anointed my body for the burying beforehand. But what did that lady do? She came into a group of men that were sitting around all eating together. And she had with her a very costly bottle of perfume. It was all that she had. It probably cost her everything in her life savings. But that's what was required. Not a penny more than she had, and not a penny less than she had. And if she only had enough money to buy toilet water, that would have been sufficient. But she had enough with what she could gather together to buy spikenard, a very costly ointment. And she took that and brought it into the room where Jesus was. But don't overlook this. She took that bottle of spikenard, that alabaster jar, and she broke it. If you go home to church, some of you, if you go home to the church that I'm in, You'll notice in the Sunday school room up on top of the shelf where the library is, there's a jar, an alabaster jar, kind of like the one maybe that the lady had put the spikenard in. But that was no good. That you couldn't anoint Jesus' feet with that spikenard if it was in the jar. The fragrance wouldn't have filled the whole house where everybody had assembled if it was still in the jar. But to get it out of the jar, you had to break the neck of the jar. You had to then pour out from that jar that costly ointment that the disciples then thought was a big waste. And Jesus said, no, it's not a waste. She's doing a wonderful, beautiful thing. That bottle needed to be broken. I need to be broken. We need to be broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. We read in the book of Isaiah that God dwells, it says in Isaiah, he dwells in two places. He dwells up there in heaven, the high, the lofty one. He dwells in a place called heaven. But where else does it say in Isaiah he dwells?
With those that are broken.
With those that are of a broken and a contrite heart. You know, God looks for vessels. He looks for clay pots that are broken, that the light of the glorious gospel that's on the inside can shine on the outside. Jesus took what was offered and given to him. And as he took it, he offered it up with thanksgiving to his Father, and he broke it. Another one of those imperceptible miracles. I don't know when the miracle happened. How do you get from 5 loaves and 2 fish enough bread to feed 5,000 men plus women and children? I know Brother Rich is a good cook, and we've enjoyed good cook, but there's only so much water you can put in the soup to make it stretch. There's only so much filler that you can put into the meatloaf to make it still qualify as meatloaf. You know, you can only do so much. And I don't think anybody could feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I did it once in VBS. I told you about the guy's glasses that I broke. Probably that same VBS. We wouldn't do this anymore. I guess, and I said, now we're sophisticated. But I was Jesus, and I was doing this miracle. And I was here, all the children were out in front of me. And so I put on one of those garments, and I filled up both sleeves. They were hanging like this. I filled up both sleeves with Cheez-Its, those goldfish kind. And I thought, well, this is the best I can do. I don't know what else to do. And so I said, and Jesus took this, and I had a piece of bread or some whole thing, and he took it and he break it. And as I said, he break it, I was going like this. And they just kept coming out of my, and the kids, they liked it. They got the point. Well, I don't know what was happening with everybody. I could just see the disciples. I could just see probably the lesser ones, like Thaddeus and Bartholomew. What's he doing? I never saw him do. Oh, look at what Jesus is doing. As he broke it. Was it as he broke it, or when did it happen? When he put it in the basket, or I don't care. It doesn't really matter. All I know is this, that when Jesus got a hold of that which was given to him, the little bit that was given to him, he was able to take the little bit that was given to him, and he was able to make the little bit that was given to him go a long way. And it wasn't any credit to that little boy that brought his lunch. It certainly wasn't to the glory and honor of any of the disciples. It was all glory be to God for the tremendous things that he's doing. And so what did he do? What did he do? He sat him down, as we read, and organized the group, and he then gave to his disciples. And he said to his disciples, feed them. And here's, again, feed not just the first 3 rows. Don't just feed the ones that are, you know, sitting close to the front, but go all the way to the very back row. To the 9,980th person that's out there. I know you got to take a little bit of a hike to get to where he is, but go to him. You know, maybe there are people that are, you know, in our homes and families, maybe in our block or in our job, but maybe there are people that are a few miles away, or maybe there are even people that are over an ocean away that need to be fed. Maybe they're in Tortola Or maybe they're in the Sudan. Or maybe they're in Myanmar. Or maybe wherever they may be throughout this world. Sister Joyce said the other day, a prayer that my uncle prayed for our children and our young people that we still pray today. Lord, all of them for the kingdom of God. Some for the ministry, and some for the mission field. But somebody's got to take the bread. Somebody's got to bring it to people that have never heard and that don't know. And Jesus wants to lay upon my heart and yours. No, not everybody's called to the mission field. Maybe you just went like this and breathed a sigh of relief. But if you've been called to the mission field, you'll never be happy until you get to the mission field. If God wants you to be a pastor and a minister, you'll never be happy until you get to where He wants you to be. And if He calls you to be a school teacher or a teller in a bank or whatever your occupation might be, maybe you're a housewife, whatever it might be, Lord, what do you want me to do and who do you want me to reach? Because He does want every one of His disciples to reach somebody, to spread the gospel to the lost. They need to be fed. They're sheep that don't have a shepherd. They're the ones that are going to try to go home and they're not going to make it. They're going to faint and perish on the way. And I have what I need to give to them, but I'm not going to go because I'm looking for a quiet place. I'm looking for an easy life. I want solitude and rest. Jesus didn't know solitude and rest. His meat was to do the will of His Father who sent Him and to finish the work that His Father had given Him to do. Young people and old people. There's a man named Charlie Flack. He was already retired from his job. I mean, his earthly, real job that he did for many years. He was in his upper 60s. And God called him to be a missionary over in Liberia, Africa. I mean, he and his wife, they were old people, senior citizens, certifiably senior citizens. But God put upon his heart the call to go to the mission field. Maybe because God couldn't find anybody younger to go, I don't know. But God called him to go over and he left here and the mission board with the organization that he was with wouldn't send him. We don't want to send you over there. You're too old. You're not going to get anything done. You know, he went over there on his own accord with his own backing and his own expenses paid out of his own pocket. He went over to Liberia and he built a dozen or so churches. And he served the people of God. He wasn't a preacher type. He was a builder. He was a construction guy. And he went over there and he taught those men who didn't know up from down in a 2x4 from a plank, from a piece of plywood, from a nail. And he taught them which end was up and what this little level thing means and why straight is better than cockeyed. And he showed them and taught them and worked with them. And he built in one place after another, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was so happy doing it. Oh, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Who can I reach and who can I feed? And I love it. They went to that last row even and everybody in between. And it says, and they were all filled. See, I look at my life and I say, Lord, I need to try to feed the people that you want me to feed. Be it third period, fourth period, or whatever period. Lord, that's what I got to do. I got to serve where you want me to serve, and I got to feed the flock that you want me to feed. And in Ozone Park, I'm stuck there, and you're stuck with me there, and that's where God has said, feed these people. I don't feel my first job is California, or my first job is over there or here, but I got to feed these people. These need to be fed. I don't want the job. I didn't sign up for it, but I just gave myself to the Lord Jesus. And whatever little I have and have had, I've tried to put it into His hands. And He's told me to feed the flock of God in this way. I had my own ideas as to how to do it. He had different plans. His ways are best. His ways are higher than your ways. His ways are joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so find His ways and do His will and feed others. And by the way, you won't be cheated at the end. No, no. You get a whole basket full to yourself. I mean, that's better than I would have anticipated. I got a whole basket left. 12 baskets filled, fragments of filled at the end there. I could imagine the glee that broke out in the faces of those disciples. Look at this. We serve others. We do our Lord's work. And he takes care of the rest. I mean, I don't know, exceeding abundantly. You know, you ever have to pay your taxes and wonder how you were going to do that? Go fishing sometime with Jesus. He'll figure out a way. Pete, you need to pay your taxes? Yeah. Well, go fishing. The first fish you catch, you don't have to catch 99, just get one. And go into the fish's mouth, and there's a coin in there. And go pay your taxes. And while you're there, pay mine too. Oh, Lord, do you have ways to supply all of our needs? Body, soul, and spirit? Yeah. If you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. And so, look around. The fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth laborers into his harvest field, and if he sends you, then go. If he sends you to do his bidding, then do it. Share the gospel to those sheep that have no shepherd and are lost, without God and without hope in this world. And he wants to use you, and to use you, he'll probably need to break you. Not my will, but Lord, your will be done, and flow through me and meet the needs of those around me. Lord, we thank you for the young and the old that are here this evening, and that you are able to use every one of us. We could still bring forth fruit in old age. I'm glad, Lord, that we don't have to get to an age and then we retire because we leave it now to everybody else to do. Lord, the work might change and the call might change. But Lord, we still have labor. We still have ways in which we can invest ourselves in your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help all of us. Lord, we don't just want to be satisfied because of what you've done for us. And you've called us and we've left everything and now we're following you. We four no more. We're happy. It doesn't really matter what happens to the rest of the world. No, no. They're sheep without a shepherd. And you've entrusted to us a message of reconciliation. And may you send us forth in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can bring to the lost the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ through his precious blood. Lord, break us so that we can be used. So the little that we are somehow in your hands can go a longer way than if we were whole and all by ourselves. Dear Lord, your will be done in us and through us. And we pray, Lord, for the help of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't know who even to go to or to speak to unless you lead. We pray, Lord, that we, your sheep, who don't really know ourselves what to do, but Lord, your sheep know your voice, and they follow your call. And so, Lord, we might be dumb sheep not knowing where to go or what to do, but give us an ear to hear, and a heart that will then respond. And Lord, use us. Use us for your honor and for your glory. And we'll give you the praise because we don't have any to take to ourselves. We'll give you all the glory for what it is that you have done. Lord, as we leave this camp tomorrow, many of us, most, and we go to our homes, our churches, our communities, Lord, we pray that whatever's been wrought in our souls that was good this week will bear fruit in not only our lives, but others. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.